You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning. I'm Luis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is Congressman Beto O'Rourke. Congressman O'Rourke represents the 16th Congressional District in this area, and he is here to join us to talk about this upcoming conference that's going to be happening in El Paso. It's a tradition here at the University of Texas at El Paso, and it's a conference that focuses on U.S.-Mexico issues, border issues, and this is in conjunction with the Congressman's office. Again, it's the 2015 United States-Mexico Summit, A View from the Border. Congressman O'Rourke, thank you very much for joining us.
Louis, thanks for having me on.
Now, tell us a little bit about this conference, because as I mentioned before, it's been ongoing, and I would think that it's about, what, 10 years now?
You know, at least 10 years that UTEP and the 16th District Congressional Office, first with Congressman Sylvester Reyes and now with us, has been hosting an annual conference to focus on unique binational issues to El Paso, Juarez, and the U.S.-Mexico border. This year's a little bit different because we're expanding it from the border to really encompass all major U.S.-Mexico bilateral issues. So that is education, mobility, migration, energy, culture, and even security, which used to be the exclusive focus of the conference. Back in the Sylvester Reyes days, it was really about how to address what was seen as a problem of the U.S.-Mexico connection, that is securing the border. We're looking to get past that and acknowledge the fact that as the safest community in the United States today and the fact that the U.S.-Mexico border has never been more secure, it's time to focus on those positive dynamics that define our relationship and see what we can do to capitalize on the trade that creates jobs, on the mobility that brings talent and drive and ambition into this country, and on the unique culture that develops in a place like El Paso Juarez that influences the larger culture of the United States and of Mexico.
We're visiting with Congressman Beto O'Rourke, who is one of the hosts, along with UTEP, of the View from the Border. And this is a U.S.-Mexico summit that's going to be taking place here on campus August 6th and 7th. You mentioned the security, Congressman, and I'm sure that a lot of people, you know, for a while there, were very nervous about going to Juarez, and now it's beginning to pick up again. People are going back and forth. But then, of course, recently, we heard about the escape of one of the cartel leaders who was in prison there in Mexico. And so this may raise some questions about security again.
You know, I think that internally, Mexico still has some challenges. And the escape of Chapo Guzman certainly illustrates that. But when it comes to the actual U.S.-Mexico border, you look at the facts 15 years ago, on the eve of 9/11, you had about 1.6 million apprehensions, northbound apprehensions along the U.S.-Mexico border. Last year, including the spike of refugees and asylum seekers from Central America, these were the kids and mothers with young children who were fleeing violence in El Salvador and Honduras and Guatemala. Even with all of that traffic coming from Central America, you only had 480,000 apprehensions. So 1.6 million 15 years ago, 480,000 today. We've more than tripled our spending on border security. We're spending $18 billion a year today. We've doubled the size of the Border Patrol. And as I like to remind people, and it's a point that bears repeating, El Paso today is the safest city, not on the U.S.-Mexico border, not just in the state of Texas, but in the entire United States. And what I like to tell my colleagues and friends up here in Washington is that that is in large part because of and not in spite of the migrants from Mexico and Central America and Latin America who call El Paso home. I think these are the folks who come to our country to get ahead, to do better for themselves and for their kids, to take part in the American dream and to contribute to our country. And that's a very positive story that we get to tell the rest of the world at this conference. And one of the exciting things is that this year we have the U.S. Secretary of Commerce, Penny Pritzker, her counterpart on the Mexican side, Secretary Guajardo, the Secretary of the Economy. We have the Energy Secretary from Mexico, the Customs and Border Protection Commissioner from the U.S., Gil Kerlikowske, his counterpart from Mexico, and so many others who are coming here from around the U.S. and around Mexico. And one, we'll get to share their perspective, but even more importantly, they'll get to listen to El Paso and Juarez's perspective on what makes this U.S.-Mexico relationship so unique, so special, and so positive. And that, Louis, I think is a very effective counterpoint to some of this crazy stuff that you hear on the radio or on TV from people like Donald Trump and other politicians and talking heads who are not from the border, don't understand it, know it as we do, and are able to stir up anxiety and myths and fears about the border that are really unfounded. So this is a chance for El Paso and Juarez to tell our story, do so in a really positive way, and hopefully change the national perspective and dialogue going forward.
Congressman, you bring up some good points there as far as El Paso and Juarez, because the people in Washington, D.C., and some in other parts of the country as well have always, I don't want to say looked down on us, but they're kind of looking at it like, what? I didn't know El Paso was that progressive, or I didn't know anything of good things about Juarez and stuff like that. And so, like, with you being up there in Washington as one of our ambassadors and other people from El Paso and the Juarez area, trying to spread that story and bring down what the comments people like Donald Trump or other people are making.
That's right. I think that's a really important part of my job as a U.S. rep here in D.C. I've got 534 colleagues in the House of Representatives and in the Senate, all of whom have a preset idea of what the U.S.-Mexico border is. And as you can imagine, among most of them, it's not necessarily a positive image. They think of stories that they've heard of lawlessness, of anarchy, of chaos, fears of terrorists crossing, of drug smugglers coming through, of immigrants sneaking across the border and taking jobs. When you look at the facts, though, and these are what I share with my colleagues, I don't share anecdote, I don't share personal stories. I say, look, here are the facts. Last year, net migration from Mexico was zero, literally zero. Just as many people returned into Mexico as came across into the U.S. We have the lowest apprehensions on record of people moving northbound into the U.S. El Paso's the safest city. We're spending more than we've ever spent to secure the border. And despite all of those talking heads and politicians, the border today is more secure than it has ever been. And from there, you can pivot to the things that we want to work on from the El Paso Juarez perspective, which is, how do we make the border work better? Why are people waiting more than 15 minutes in line to cross into El Paso from Mexico when they have the appropriate documentation or they themselves are U.S. citizens? We hear stories of folks waiting 30 minutes, an hour, 2-3 hours in some unique cases. That should never happen. When you have $90 billion in U.S.-Mexico trade crossing through our ports of entry as we do now, we should find ways to capitalize on that and ease the throughput and flow of trade, because that trade is connected to jobs, not just in Juarez, but one out of every four jobs in El Paso, Texas, is connected to U.S.-Mexico trade. So how do we increase that trade and also at the same time increase the value of those jobs in El Paso that are connected to that trade? So more manufacturing jobs, more service sector jobs that facilitate that trade. Those are huge opportunities for us. And that's, again, part of what we want to focus on. And then, Louis, the last part, this is kind of a fun part of the conference. The conference is the 6th and 7th of August. On the 8th of August, early in the morning, we're going to run a 10K race that'll start in Segundo Barrio in just south of downtown El Paso. It'll run through downtown. It'll then cross over the Stanton Street Bridge into Juarez and then go through some of the highlights of Ciudad Juarez, like the old customs house, the cathedral, the place where Juarez was first founded in 1659, and then, of course, the Kentucky Club. We wouldn't want to miss that. And it will end on the Paso del Norte Bridge right on the international line. It's the first binational race run between the U.S. and Mexico since 9/11. So this is really a watershed event for the border, for El Paso Juarez. And we've got hundreds of people already signed up for the race, and many of them are coming from out of town. So we really want to show through fact and then through this event that the border is open. It's open for business, but maybe most importantly, it's open for people and it's open for life, and it's returning back to the normalcy that we all knew in our childhood when El Paso Juarez really celebrated the binational aspect of this community.
We're visiting with Congressman Beto O'Rourke. Congressman O'Rourke represents the 16th Congressional District. He's our congressman here in the El Paso area. And he's talking about the event that's going to be taking place on August 6th and 7th here on the UTEP campus, the congressman's office, in conjunction with the University of Texas at El Paso and Dr. Natalicio are hosting this conference. And it's going to be focusing on different border issues, but also internal issues that the United States and Mexico have to deal with, and as Congressman just mentioned, the fact that also this run, which is going to be an international run, is going to focus a little bit about the history of El Paso Juarez and some of the things that have been happening all over the years and the history of the relationship between the two countries. Now, as far as signing up for this, Congressman, do they do this at the conference, or is there a webpage they should go to?
You know, UTEP has done an excellent job of facilitating registration. You can go to www.utep.edu/USMXS. And the USMXS stands for U.S.-Mexico Summit. But if you go to utep.edu/USMXS, you can sign up for the conference. Find out more about who's speaking, where on the UTEP campus it's taking place, and other details. And then if you're interested in joining us for the U.S.-Mexico 10K run, that's at www.international10k.com or international10k.com. And you can go there and sign up for the race and, again, find the details out about the race. But really a great job that UTEP has done in hosting this, putting this together, working with all of the folks involved from the U.S. Embassy, the Mexican Embassy, the federal governments in both countries, and then in conjunction with this race, which is being produced by the El Paso Community Foundation, I really think we're going to have a really fun weekend of events. And, Louis, part of what's exciting about this is our chance with cabinet secretaries and visitors from out of town who are coming to see this and run in the race. It's a chance to show off El Paso and Juarez. So the Community Foundation's Plaza Classic Film Festival will be taking place. Attendees can visit the great restaurants we have in the community, tour the amazing UTEP campus, which has never looked better, visit the downtowns of both communities. I'm really excited because I'm so proud of El Paso and Juarez and the fact that we're the largest binational community in the world, and we have so much to show off, and this is going to be a great chance to do it. So we're really looking forward to it.
One of the things that has happened in the El Paso Juarez area since you were elected, things have changed so much. Some people might say, well, it's not because of the congressman's election, but I'm trying to say that in those few years, we have changed so much. And as you mentioned, you know, in addition to the art museum or the baseball park, the baseball team, El Paso and Juarez have just blossomed as far as construction and some would say the economy as well.
It's true, and there are some real obvious things that we could look at. The AAA ballpark in downtown El Paso, the Chihuahuas, the amazing level of construction and addition that's gone on at UTEP Centennial Plaza, which is absolutely beautiful. The four-year medical school, the Paul L. Foster School of Medicine, near downtown El Paso at the Medical Center of the Americas. And then on the Mexican side in Juarez, I really think you've seen the triumph of, or at least significant progress made by civil society in Juarez. Certainly political leadership had something to do with it, but I think it's far more credit is owed to everyday citizens in Juarez who've decided to take control of that city back from cartels, from corrupt politicians and police, and have reduced the murder rate significantly from where it was 4 or 5 years ago. Still a lot of work to do on both sides of the border, but I think we're making real progress. And one panel that will be at the event at UTEP on August 6th and 7th will focus on civil society leadership on both sides of the border, where everyday people in El Paso, everyday people in Juarez have taken the problems into their own hands and come up with their own solutions and have made progress towards solving them. And I think that's something to highlight because, you know, we politicians and people who are in these positions of public trust are all too often ready to take credit for advancements or progress that we make as communities or societies. But I really think that progress that we've seen in El Paso and in Juarez is really due to the spirit and the will of those communities. Everyone. We in El Paso have decided that we want to be a leading American city, and we're willing to do the difficult things necessary to make that happen. And so everything that you touched on, Louis, and some of the things that I added, I think are examples of that spirit of El Paso. And then the progress we've seen in security in Juarez is the spirit of that community. So, again, I can't think of a more positive time for people to come to our communities and see what we're doing and see how that might apply to the larger U.S.-Mexico relationship.
Well, Congressman, we want to thank you very much for taking the time to be with us here today. We've been visiting with Congressman Beto O'Rourke, represents the 16th Congressional District, talking about the upcoming U.S.-Mexico Summit, which will be taking place on August 6th and 7th. And don't forget, on August 8th, there's also going to be the 10K International Run. Congressman, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much, Louis.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Belinda Fernandez. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sainz.